I got to be honest, often we can become very one-dimensional as it relates to our understanding of the Scripture. What I mean by that is we look at certain admonitions in the Bible and we limit their meaning to just one interpretation without really considering all that God entailed when He gave that specific instruction. I think one of these examples is the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We look at that commandment, we quote it, we remember it because we have studied it since we were children. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And on the surface, most of us have already concluded what you believe about that command. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All right, Pastor, let's move on. We understand that. We've heard that one for years. We know how we're supposed to obey that. Now, you would be right with that surface interpretation. And that interpretation would simply be that we are not to use any form of God's name, any form of God's name irreverently as it relates to bad language or cursing. You would be right about that. And I would say just from a personal standpoint that few things irritate me more than the misuse of God's name in cursing. There are few things that really boil my blood, so to speak, than to hear someone use God's name in vain in a negative or irreverent form. Now, I'll speak to this here in just a few moments, but you ought to work hard to not only yourself be reverent of the names of God, but to teach your children to be reverent of the names of God. I have gotten myself in several situations where I could have been arrested because someone next to me used the name Jesus Christ irreverently. People will fill stadiums today, and when their team makes a bad play, let's, for example, say it's the Bears, and they make a bad play, and they throw an interception, and some people are going to say, Jesus Christ! Irreverently. Cursing the name of God, taking it in vain. And your interpretation of this verse in relation to bad language and cursing is absolutely accurate. Absolutely. But have you ever considered the totality of this verse? I mean, all that it really means, it's not just one dimensional. It's not just, oh my God, Jesus Christ. It's not just one dimensional. Have you ever heard someone preach that there's more ways to violating this command than just swearing alone? Now, remembering that the first four commands deal with my relationship with God, I understand that this third commandment regards how I speak about God. Remember the first command, I shall have no other gods before me. That is who I'm supposed to worship. The second command is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's how I'm supposed to worship. The third command, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's what I say about the God whom I worship. And I would say here that God's true value to us is often revealed in our manner of speech. God's true value to us, how we reverence Him or how we are disrespectful of Him, how we really view God, how He is really worth to us, His value to us is often revealed in the manner in which we speak. That's why Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What your heart feels about God is what you're going to speak about God. Your mouth yields what your heart feels. Your mouth yields what your heart feels. So if your heart is disrespectful to God, your mouth is going to be disrespectful to God. But if your heart reverences God, your heart loves God, your heart reverences, values, He is worth more than life itself to you, then your mouth is going to yield that. And that's where this command comes into play. Because we're still talking about our relationship with God and our worship toward Him. And all of this involves what we say, how we speak about God. So, considering this command, do not take God's name in vain, I want you to consider three things with me. Here's the first one. You'll find these in your notes as well as on the screen. Number one, the name of God is not just any other name. The name of God is not just any other name. Look at the emphasis here in verse number 7. He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord thy God. The emphasis again is on the name of the Lord thy God. Listen, the name of God is not just any other name. There's no way that one single message could exhaust the magnitude of God's name. But it would do you good as a believer to study the names of God in the Old Testament. To see all that are mentioned about the forms of God and the names of God in both the Old and the New Testament. Each name given for the Lord God represents His character to us. For example, just a few, we understand that a name Adonai, it means master. He is our Adonai. He is our master. The name Yahweh, which was most often used in the Old Testament, especially by the nation of Israel, they would refer to God as Yahweh. It means Jehovah, our Lord, Jehovah, our God. You have the name Elohim. The name Elohim in the Old Testament means the mighty God, not just any other gods that people worship. He's the mighty God, the one true God. And then there are so many different forms of Jehovah. There is Jehovah Rapha. That's the Lord who heals. I'm glad to know that whatever ailment I am facing physically, mentally, spiritually, that God is my Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals. He's Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord who provides no matter what my need is, no matter where I am wanting in life. He is Jehovah Jireh to me. He's the Lord who provides my needs financially, provides my health, provides His clear path. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God who gives peace when the winds are tossing around me and everything is just so burdensome in my life. I go to God and I recognize that He's not just Jehovah. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God who gives peace. You see, the name of God speaks to every need that we have in life. There are over 300 in the Bible, various forms of God's use in His name, and we can find them applicable to our lives and the need that we have. The point that I'm trying to say to you is that the name of God is not just any other name. It's a special name. It's a significant name. And by the way, our God is also not some kind of force. We treat Him as if He's some impersonal Star Wars-like force. Listen, no, God is not a force. He is a person. He says in this verse that He is the Lord your God, the Lord thy God. He is a person. He is a God who is personal to us. He's not just our God. He's my God. He is your God. He's not a force. He's a person. Bible says in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the same God speaking of Jesus, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew 1 and 21 says, thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins. Psalm 8 and verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Listen, the name of God is not just any other name. There are some names that are special to me. I always perk up a little bit when people use names like Kathleen. It's an unusual name. My wife's name is Kathleen. And so when I hear someone's name is Kathleen, I feel this special honor of that, this connection. This seems like the name Charlotte to our friends is coming around a lot more. We've had several of our friends here recently name their babies Charlotte. President Clinton's daughter just recently named their child Charlotte. Now, why is that significant? Because my daughter's name is Charlotte. There's some names that are special to me and significant to me, and they mean a great deal to me personally. But no name on earth is greater than the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ. That name is so significant that Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. A name that is greater than Muhammad. A name that is greater than Buddha. A name that is greater than Jonathan. It's a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, listen to me, not the name of America, not the name of Obama, not the name of Baptist, no, but the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. It is a significant name. It's important to note, to understand that each commandment, all 10 of them, has both a positive and a negative side. It's easy on the surface for us to look at just the negatives. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But they also imply a positive implication. For example, when the commandments, and we'll get to it here in just a couple of weeks, when it says thou shalt not commit adultery, that's the negative side. Don't commit adultery. But the positive side of that command that God is implying to us is be faithful to your spouse. Don't commit adultery, but be faithful to your spouse. Don't covet. That's the negative side. Thou shalt not covet. Here's the point. Be content with God's blessings to you. Don't covet, but be content with God's blessings. So when God commands us not, or don't take my name in vain, He is enforcing the principle of the positive. That is, honor my name. Don't take my name in vain, but honor my name. Reverence my name. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus taught the disciples and us to pray, in Matthew chapter number 6, what was the first item on their agenda? The first thing that they were to honor and to recognize in their prayer was who they were praying to. As a matter of fact, Jesus looked at His disciples and said, after this manner or in this pattern, here's how I want you to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Thy name. Honorable is Thy name. Our Father whom we're praying to You, You have a honorable, a holy, a hallowed name. The name of God is not just any other name. Are you listening to me? The name of God is not just any other name. There's power in that name. There's protection in that name. There's provision in that name. There's praise in that name. It's not just any other name. Which leads me to the second point of this command, and it's number 2, the name of God is not to be used in vain. Number 1, the name of God is not just any other name. Number 2, the name of God is not to be used in vain. Look at the command again in verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, here it is, in vain. In vain. Hey, by the way, this is a big deal. Some of you don't think it's a big deal when you take God's name in vain. But this is a big deal. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament. God narrows it down to 10 that He wants us to keep then and now. And of those 10 that He narrows down, He puts this one as number 3 of importance on the list. Number 3. The third most important command is how we talk about Him. The command says that we are not to use His name in vain. Now, what does that mean? What does the word vain mean? If I'm not supposed to do it, I need to understand what it means. The word vain here in this verse means meaningless. It can also be interpreted as empty or faultless. It's interesting how the Hebrews, how the Israelite nation would use this word vain. They would also, they would often use the word to describe a storm that would just suddenly appear. Because in their minds, that storm seemed so random. It had no rhyme or no reason. They viewed that storm as erratic, worthless, non-productive. And so often they would call a storm something that is vain. That's what the word vain means. It means worthless, erratic, meaningless, empty, thoughtless, non-productive to us. I think it's needless to say this morning that according to this verse, to use God's name in vain is disrespectful and dishonorable to God. Not only is it disrespectful and dishonorable to God, but it could lead to a very damnable thing in your life to use God's name in vain, to treat His name as meaningless, to treat His name as thoughtless, to treat His name as unproductive and foolish to you. So here's the command. Don't use My name in vain. And here's where we get away from this one-dimensional view. Because so many, there's just one way not to take God's name in vain. But there's so much more to this. Let's start with the first one that we are most familiar with. Number one, we violate this command when we use His name profanely. We violate this command when we use His name profanely. Attaching God's name in cursing and swearing is both profane, and listen to me, it's pointless. It's pointless. Why even do it? It's profane and it's pointless. It makes no difference whether we voice it or abbreviate it. Oh my God and OMG is a violation of God's third command. And I don't mean to chase these rabbits because this could get real preferential. I understand that, a real nitpicky, but sometimes we use these euphemisms, so to speak, to make sure that we don't say that word. So instead of saying GD, we say gosh darn it. Well, because I don't want to take God's name in vain. Well, what was in your heart when you said, gosh darn it? Your heart was to say something you knew you shouldn't say, so you thought I'd get as close as I could. You may not have said the real thing, but in your heart you may have said it. Profanely. It's pointless. Think of the definition of vain for just a moment. It's empty, it's meaningless, it's thoughtful. When we use God's name in a moment of frustration, what do we accomplish? Nothing. Now please don't read into this. At least the other commandments, if you break them, you accomplish something. I'm not advocating anybody go out here and murder today, kill someone. But if you murder or kill someone, at least you've accomplished revenge. If you steal something, at least you've got kind of what you wanted. I mean, we can look at it from the negative side and say, if I break at least these commands, I get some of it. But this is the only command. The only command that if you break it, you don't get nothing in return. It's just pointless. It helps you accomplish nothing. That's why he uses the word vain. To take God's name in a profane way is a vain thing. It's interesting how specific God was about this in the Old Testament before grace came into the picture. Leviticus chapter 24, if it's not written out in your notes, I want you to turn over there in your Bibles. It's only a couple of books away to the right. As a matter of fact, it's one book to the right. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 24. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 11. This is very interesting here. This is how important God views His name and how we use it. How well to think twice before we use the name Jesus or Jesus Christ or God in the form of cursing or profanity. Listen to what God said in the Old Testament about the violation of His name, swearing in the name of God. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 11. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. Blasphemed it. Here's how he blasphemed it. Look at the next two words. And cursed. He blasphemed the name of God by cursing with the name of God. Okay? And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shulamite, the daughter of Debri in the tribe of Dan. And they put him in a ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that cursed without the camp. And let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head. And let all the church stone him. And thou shalt speak of the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, thou shalt be put to death. I mean, think about how serious this was to God in the Old Testament. We're talking about before Jesus, before grace, before God was putting them under the theocracy of Himself. And they had to follow this. And the point was this: if you swear, if you curse, if you use the name of God profanely, there was only one answer to that. And that is for you to die, for you to be stoned. Can you imagine if that was still relevant in your life today? You're driving down the road here, Charlotte, Monday morning, rush hour is booming. If you're like me, you don't have much patience during high traffic times. Everyone is an idiot driver during high traffic times. That is, everyone but me, right? Right? Somebody cuts you off, or if you really get irritated, these are the things that really irritate me. I mean, we could be a mile away from where traffic stops, and already somebody's slamming on their brakes, you know, I mean, you face those situations. What if that happens tomorrow morning, and right in the middle of that, you say, oh my! I would find that very humorous. That right in the middle of, oh my, all of a sudden a stone knocks you out and kills you. That's what they say. I mean, halfway in taking the name of God in vain, there's only one payment for the crime: death. Death. But what I'm trying to say to you this morning is it is a serious deal to profanely use the name of God. Now, oftentimes we stop right here and we say, well, that's good. I don't say, oh my God. I don't even abbreviate OMG. But there's more to it. Let me give you the second one. We violate this command when we use His name carelessly. We violate this command when we use His name carelessly. What we mean here is using His name flippantly, frivolously, carelessly. Some of you have read the third commandment and felt for years that you are not in violation of it because you never allow profanity to come from your mouth. You never allow profanity to be said from your children. You never let it be heard in your home. However, you are still guilty of violating the command because vain also implies the careless, the frivolous use of God's holy name. Let me give you a New Testament example of this. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Not one time should it ever be said of your life that you've been guilty of sexual immorality, you've been guilty of perverseness, you've been guilty of materialism. He said, let it not be named among you as become a saint. And he goes on, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Now the reference here of foolish talking and jesting is how we carelessly use these little phrases that include the name of God, that include the name of God, but there's not been given much thought to it. I would go on to say that it's using the name of God without much sincerity. That's what is meant by the phrase foolish talking or jesting. It's the careless, the flippant use of the name of God. God bless you. 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 Now, it's one thing if you mean it. It's another thing if that's your automatic response to everybody who says hello to you today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. God bless. God bless. Here comes somebody you don't like. God bless. God bless. You follow me? We've used the name of God carelessly. We've not given much thought to it. We're really not sincere in what we're saying. And therefore, we have violated His command using His name in vain. Maybe you've heard this from time to time. Oh, Lord. Gas prices have gone up again. Oh, Lord. What does God have to do with gas prices? The Bears scored again. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, the Lord probably should have mercy on the Panthers today. But I think He has very little to do with it. Taxes gone up again. Oh, Lord. What are we going to do about the government? Oh, Lord, have mercy. 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 I mean, everything's Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Just flippantly using His name. Oh, Lord. But we may not be using it in a moment of frustration. We not maybe aggravating, saying, oh, God. God bless you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How about this one? This gets really interesting. Those who say praise the Lord to everything. To everything. Good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. God's so good. Praise the Lord. I'm breathing. Praise the Lord. I had good breakfast. Praise the Lord. I got a good car. Praise the Lord. We got a comfortable seat. Praise the Lord. The sun's not in my face. Praise the Lord. Hey, stop. Just stop. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Sister. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just got a raise. Praise the Lord. I just got macaroni and cheese. Praise the Lord. My shoes are shining. Praise Jesus. Stop. Just stop. You're just carelessly using the name of God to exert some type of spiritual thought that you don't possess. It's one thing to come to the house of God and really be moved by the praises of God and the blessings of God and say, praise the Lord. It's another thing to let that be your spiritual slogan on Sunday. Oh, sure, you may not have cursed God's name, but you may have carelessly used His name already today. That's what he's talking about then. Think about Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 14. It says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, a divination, and a thing of naught, and deceit in their heart. Essentially what God was saying is this, hey, there's a bunch of guys claiming to be pastors and teachers, and they're writing books, and they're traveling, and they're speaking at conferences, and they're filling up churches, and they're selling their products, and they're saying things that I never told them to say. They're saying, God told me to tell you. God said, I never told them to say that. They're writing books in my name, and I never told them to write that book. They're preaching sermons in my name, and I never told them to preach that sermon. They are telling things to you about the name of God that I have never said. Careless use of God's name. Let's put it where we live, because oftentimes we make decisions that are biblically questionable, and then we follow it up with something like this. Well, the Lord told me to do it. We make decisions that are biblically questionable, and then we say, God told me. Now, wait a minute. You better be very, very careful about saying that God told you to do something that contradicts His very word. That's taking God's name in vain. You may not have cursed. You may not have swore. But if you start saying God told you to do something that is biblically questionable, then that, my friend, is a violation of the third command. Using His name carelessly. Sometimes we'll sound very spiritual without biblical foundation, and we'll say, well, the Lord told me to tell you. Be careful about anybody who says the Lord told me to tell you. The Lord told me to tell you. Had somebody tell me that one time. Lord told me to tell you. Well, that's interesting. He didn't tell me. The careless use of God's name. Number three, we violate this command when we use it hypocritically. We violate His command when we use His name profanely, use His name carelessly. Number three, we violate this command when we use His name hypocritically. In my opinion, there is no greater way to use God's name in vain than hypocritically. Not living what you profess. Not living what you say. Not walking the talk. Using His name hypocritically. Isaiah 48 and verse 1 says, "Hear ye, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention, they speak of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness." He said, be careful of those who speak the name of God, who say the name of God, but they don't do it in their deeds. They don't do it in their ways. The sad reality is if you do not live what you profess, if you do not live what you have professed, you are no different than a man who curses God's name in profanity. If you do not live what you profess, you and I are no different than a man who curses God's name in profanity. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to see a few examples of this before we get to the last point. Matthew chapter 7, would you find verse 21? There's another powerful illustration about using God's name in vain, particularly in the form of hypocritical terms. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. You found it? Look at it there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus is speaking here. He says, Not everyone that saith unto me, say those next two words, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, hear it again, say it again, Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied, notice this, in Thy name? Have we not preached in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works. Then, God says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, New Testament scriptural proof that there are many. Notice what He says in verse 21. There are many, many, many people, not a few people. That's convicting right there. That will cause you to do some self-examination in your heart, because the Bible doesn't say not a small number, not a little percentage of that kind. No, there are going to be many, many who profess the name of God, many who profess to be Christians, many who say, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things in your name? Did we not work in the nursery in your name? Did we not sing in the choir in your name? Did we not preach messages in your name? Many, Jesus said, will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things in your name? But I never knew them. How do I take God's name in vain? When you live a hypocritical life. When you profess God, but you don't live like God. You're in chapter 7. Flip over two pages to chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's a very interesting passage. He talks about, again, the hypocritical ways of making promises that we never intend to keep. Making promises we never intend to keep. Making vows to God we never intend to keep. Hypocrisy. Taking God's name in vain. Look at verse 33 of Matthew 5. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. He's really referring here to the third command about not taking God's name in vain. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Here's what he's saying. Stop right here for just a moment. The Jews had this issue that we often have. They think in order for their word to be fulfilled, they always had to swear by something spiritual. So they would swear by heaven. They would swear by Yahweh. They would swear by the city of Jerusalem, be kind of like in our day, putting their hand on a stack of Bibles and say, I swear with my hand on God's Word. Or when we were kids, we would say, you know, cross our hearts, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, you know. It's this idea that if you really want to believe me, then I need to swear by something spiritual. I swear to God. I swear to heaven. I swear to something spiritual so you believe me. Now notice what he goes on to say. Look at this. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your talk, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. He said, don't swear. Don't swear to God, swear to Jerusalem, swear to heaven, swear to the Bible. Don't do that. Just say, yes, I will do it, or no, I won't. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. In other words, when you swear with the intention of never being able to fulfill that responsibility or obligation, it leads to more and more evil in your life. That's what he's teaching here. Be careful how you use God's name, even in spiritual forms. Don't make false promises to God or use spiritual language to profess something you never intended keeping. And so he says, the name of God is not just any other name. The name of God is not to be used in vain. Here's the third and final thing. Violating the name of God does not go unpunished. Violating the name of God does not go unpunished. Look once more at our text verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Here it is. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. He will not go unpunished that hypocritically uses God's name. He will not go unpunished that carelessly uses God's name. He will not go unpunished that profanely uses God's name. You may not think that it's a big deal to use God's name the way you do. But God looks at it differently. And to Him, it's a big deal. Using His name in vain, whether profanely, carelessly, or hypocritically, it will not go unpunished. So think twice the next time you hit your finger with a hammer. And you're tempted to say, oh my God. Think twice the next time your team loses a ball game and you're tempted to shout, Jesus Christ. Think twice before you say the Lord told you to do something that is not biblically founded, or even worse, is spiritually questionable. Think twice before you stand up in a service and brag on how good you are to God and how good God is to you and how you're faithful and you love the Lord, but your wife and your children know the real you at home. Think twice before you decide, I'm going to use God's name in vain. But the Bible says violating the name of God does not go unpunished. What does that mean? I don't know. We understood what it meant in the Old Testament, but for us today, we don't know. But I don't want to take a chance. I don't really have to know the consequences in order to obey what God has told me to obey. The bottom line is He's not going to hold me guiltless. He's not going to hold me unpunished if I take His name in vain. I say this morning that there is no God like Jesus. There's no name like the name of God. It's because of His very name that we even have life. John said in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Life through His name. It's not just any other name. We have life through His name. We have salvation through His name. We have redemption through His name. We are forgiven because of the name of Jesus Christ. When Peter, James, and John were doing the miracles in the early days of the book of Acts, they come to them and they said, by what power, by what name do you heal this man? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, John spoke up and said, it's by the name of Jesus Christ, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not just any other name. It's redemption-giving. It's life-giving. There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the thing that could change your life is the name of Jesus Christ. And as a body of believers, we need to make much of the name of Jesus. That's the positive side of the command. Don't use it in vain, but hallow it, honor it, make much of His name. Make much of His name. There's a verse that God has really been ministering to my heart over the last several months recently. It's the verse in Psalm 34 and verse 3 where it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Magnify His name with me. Let us together exalt His name. We need not to take it in vain. We need to make much of the name of Jesus. Exalt His name. Magnify His name. Understand that life is through His name. The warning is clear. He says, don't have any other gods before me. Don't make any graven images. And don't take my name in vain.